You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning and welcome to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And, you know, I'm so excited to talk with you all this morning because we have a really exciting show lined up. This is going to be intellectually stimulating, and we're going to be talking about, how to make an impact right now and about the issues that are important. And I'm just so excited because these issues, friends, we're going to be talking about things on a national level, but they touch individual families, they touch our friends, and today it's just going to be a great show. I'm so excited that you guys are with us. And we have a fantastic guest with us today, Clark Forsyth, who is the president of Americans United for Life. And I'm really excited about this because, you know, it's Independence Day week. And as we're talking about a love of our country, you know, we want to think about the future of our country, future generations, building a beautiful world for our children. And that starts with allowing our children to live, of course. And we know that that our nation's founding documents, that the right to life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness are at the core of those. And so often in our nation today, we see that the right to life is not protected. In fact, it's hard to imagine that every year in the United States, more than 1 million unborn children are killed through abortion. And this leaves not just a tremendous loss of life, but also the tragedy of millions of women walking around in our society today who are wounded psychologically, emotionally, even physically, and certainly spiritually from that decision, that devastating choice, which was so often forced upon them by other people. So today we're going to be talking about reducing abortion and what is effective in actually bringing an end to abortion in the United States, and how some of these approaches can really impact us in our conversations with family, friends, in terms of evangelizing them about the gospel of life, protecting that beautiful gift that God has given us of the gift of human life. And, you know, everybody talks about reducing abortions, especially in politics, right? We hear both sides saying, you know, well, you know, abortion's a bad thing. I'm opposed to abortion. But there are some people who actually are taking steps to end abortion through the law, and then others who are taking steps to, in fact, promote abortion through the law. So what is really working and, frankly, not working? And, you know, there are huge advances that have been made, especially over the past 8 years. And I'm so excited to share some of that with you today. The number of abortions have decreased. Literally hundreds of thousands of lives have been saved through incremental legislation regulating abortion. So what can we do? What does this mean for Illinois? You know, I saw this movie, Amazing Grace. Have you guys seen this movie? This is a great Brian Brock, who's our engineer behind the screen. He's like shaking his head. No, I haven't seen the movie. But I really encourage you all to check this movie out, because it's about William Wilberforce and his incredible work in abolishing slavery in the United Kingdom. And there are so many parallels between that issue and our work today. And to talk with me about this, we have with us Clark Forsyth, who is the president of Americans United for Life. Clark is also the senior consultant for the Respect Life Office. That means that he gives me a lot of free advice. And what's great about that, right, Clark? And I try to take advantage of that frequently.
Glad you do, Mary Louise. It's good to be back with you and good to be back on Relevant Radio.
Oh, it's great to have you with us on the show. And, you know, I want everyone to know just how impressive you are, Clark, because even though you're still, you know, a pretty young guy, and Clark, by the way, has his youngest of five kids in the studio today. Maria Forsyth is with us, 10 years old, so we're excited to have her with us in the studio. But Clark is such an impressive guy. You were featured on the front page of the Wall Street Journal. In fact, they have this one of these little dot pictures of you, because we know that the Wall Street Journal doesn't use actual photographs, but they use artwork. And you know, I've always wanted a dot picture of myself, Clark. But but actually, it was so inspiring. This says that an abortion fight, little known group has guiding hand. Americans United chips away in legislatures, courts, coaching New Hampshire, inspired by NAACP playbook. And in the article, it compares your work, Clark, with Americans United for Life. It compares that to the work of the NAACP when they were working on chipping away the segregation in the United States, the so-called separate but equal scandal of our nation's history, which eventually then they were very successful with in overturning that tragic Plessy versus Ferguson decision like 50 or 60 years later.
That's an important lesson for us, that decision that inaugurated separate but equal was back in 1896, and it took 58 years to overturn that decision in 1954 in Brown versus Board of Education. And that's an important lesson of perseverance in the law, perseverance in politics, perseverance in changing culture that we should take to heart.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because a lot of times I think people feel hopeless, you know, and what I get frustrated with is sometimes people say, oh, look, we're not making any progress. But in fact, we've made tremendous progress.
We have. And I think a lot of people's frustrations in the political arena come because they expect some absolute life-changing, all or nothing transformation. And that's not the way politics and law work in a democracy. That's not the way it worked with civil rights. It's not the way it worked with slavery. Change often, usually comes slowly because we are surrounded by all kinds of obstacles, political, social, economic,
yes,
financial obstacles. And it's we have to focus on those obstacles and understand those obstacles and then identify effective solutions to circumvent those obstacles.
Absolutely. And, you know, when I watched this movie, Amazing Grace, I was so inspired. Friends, if you haven't seen this movie, get the DVD. It is a great movie. And it was so inspiring because it starts with William Wilberforce, and he's unbelievably burnt out and frustrated. I think it's about 15 years into, and he's losing his health. I mean, he is in poor health. He is, you know, hardly able to walk, you know, and be active. I mean, he's in such a weakened state. He has spent himself, you might say, trying to abolish slavery and has been unsuccessful and really feels discouraged about that. But then, as we know, he ultimately triumphs. Can you tell us a little bit about that story? Because it's just so inspiring to see how that change happened. And there are so many parallels to the struggle that we have today in defending the voiceless in our society.
There are a lot of parallels, and that is an inspiring example that and hopefully the movie will whet people's appetite to read the very recent biography by William Hague called William Wilberforce that just came out about a month ago.
Oh,
it's
great.
A great biography entitled William Wilberforce, The Life of the Great Anti-Slavery Campaigner, and by Hague, H-A-G-U-E, and I heartily recommend that biography to help develop the understanding of Wilberforce. But he persevered for 45 years between 1780 and 1825. I mean, he devoted virtually all his parliamentary career to first abolishing the slave trade. That took 20 years, and that's the focus of the movie. And then another 25 years between 1807 and 1833 to abolish slavery throughout the British Empire.
Hmm.
And Parliament abolished slavery throughout the British Empire 3 days before Wilberforce died.
Really? Oh, wow. Incredible. What a great story. I want to talk more about that. We actually need to head to a break. We are talking with Clark Forsyth, who is the president of Americans United for Life. We're talking about targeting Roe, about bringing about real change in our society, ending abortion, and the incredible parallels with the anti-slavery movement in Great Britain. There's so much progress that's been made in the United States, so many reasons for hope, and we're going to keep talking about this. So stay with us, and we'll welcome your questions and comments, too. You can give us a call if you have some questions at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. Stay with us because we'll be right back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Do you want to serve the church as a lay parish minister? Do you possess the gifts and passion for full-time church ministry? Today, lay women and men are being called to join clergy and religious and serve the church as pastoral associates and directors of religious education. Perhaps you are one of those people. To serve, you need spiritual formation and academic training. And the Archdiocesan Together in God Service program provides you both. Qualified candidates receive partial tuition scholarships and pursue a master's degree in ministry at one of Chicago's Catholic theological schools. But Together in God's Service also provides retreats and prayer experiences to help you grow spiritually and deepen your love of God. If you want to explore a calling to lay ecclesial ministry, talk to your pastor and talk to us by calling 847-837-4552. Or send an email to layministry@usml.edu.
Whether they are young or old, hungry or addicted, homeless or friendless, Catholic Charities walks with its clients, bringing them help and hope. For 90 years, Catholic Charities has empowered families and individuals of all races and religious backgrounds in communities throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. Help Catholic Charities fulfill its mission to serve the poor and underprivileged. If you can help, visit our website at catholiccharities.net or mail a donation to Catholic Charities, 721 North of South Street, Chicago, Illinois, 60610. Thank you.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago. And today we're talking about the most foundational issue of our society today, and that is protecting the weakest among us, the most vulnerable, those who are in the womb. You know, it's hard to believe, friends, that one quarter of my generation is missing. Can you imagine? I was born in 1974. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that on the air. Now you know how old I am. But actually, that one quarter of my generation is missing. That is a huge tragedy. And as we are looking at Independence Day and how blessed we are to be in the United States and the phenomenal work of our founding fathers and how that's transformed the whole world, we've got to think about the future of our country and protecting the future of our country, unborn children who are definitely the voiceless of our society, those who cannot speak for themselves. And we're talking with Clark Forsyth, who is the president of Americans United for Life and also the senior consultant of the Respect Life Office. And we're talking about right now the parallels between the movement to abolish slavery in the United Kingdom and the movement in the United States to abolish killing unborn children in the womb. So, Clark, before the break, what you said I thought was really interesting because, well, first of all, I just want to point out some of the basic parallels that you know, with slavery, we had a whole class of human beings that people felt were subhuman, believed falsely, obviously, and that was obviously gravely immoral and totally wrong. And we have that with abortion as well. We have an entire class of human beings, just based on their age and size, people think that these are, subhuman people. And it's about denying civil rights, basically, to an entire class of people.
Absolutely.
But there are other parallels, too. For example, in the slave trade, there was a huge industry behind that, right? I mean, it was financially lucrative for powerful people.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, 200 years later, we don't even think about that. But at one time, at the time that Wilberforce first stood up in Parliament, he was opposed by the royal family, the king, George III, the most powerful commercial interests, and most of the members of Parliament. I mean, when he stood up in 1787 and announced that he was going to file a motion to abolish the slave trade, only two or three members of Parliament were allied with him, and perhaps 300 were against him.
Wow.
He was virtually alone. And it was only 18 or 20 years later, when he was virtually on the edge of victory, that there was a groundswell within Parliament to support him.
Mm-hmm.
But most of those years, he was virtually alone in Parliament, although he had a growing movement around him outside Parliament. And so for 20 years, from 1787 to 1807, he concentrated on abolishing the slave trade, successful in 1807, but then it took another 25 years against slavery itself.
And so in other words, when the slave trade was abolished, that means that no more people were being traded as slaves. However, people who already were slaves were still subject to that, you know, horrendous treatment and denial of all of their rights in the UK.
That's right. The trade from Africa to the West Indies was prohibited, but then there were still slaves throughout the British colonies, and it was the target against the slavery in the British colonies that took another 25 years and didn't achieve victory until 1833.
Wow.
But Wilberforce is an inspiring example of political prudence and focus on the goal. He never took his eyes off the goal of ending the slave trade and ending slavery. That was always his goal. But even though he was always focused on that, at the same time, he focused on putting fences around the slave trade and around slavery, hemming it in, inhibiting it, reducing it. And that was very important for a number of reasons. But one of the most important was that by the time 1805 to 1807, they were finally focused on the victory, they had reduced the slave trade by these fences by 60 or 70%.
Wow, so remarkable.
It was remarkable. And,
yeah.
And that means that there was less money going into the commercial interests. There was less slave money going into politics. So by the time they went for the final push in 1805 to 1807, slavery had already been reduced by these fences and restrictions and regulations and partial prohibitions by 60 to 70%. And there is a direct parallel in the strategy that the pro-life movement has pursued against abortion since Roe versus Wade. It's been we've been unable to overturn Roe, but I expect we will do so in my lifetime. And yet we have put fences around the abortion license through the passing informed consent laws. 32 states have passed informed consent laws. 36 states have passed parental involvement laws. 36 states have passed fetal homicide laws. 22 states have passed clinic regulations. These all hem in abortion and reduce abortion. The high of the number of abortions was in 1992, as you remember, 1.6 million. That's been reduced as of 2006 to 1.2 million. That's still 1.2 million too many.
Absolutely.
Too many children killed, too many women injured. But without these fences, if there had been public funding, for example, you might imagine 3 to 4 million a year in the United States.
Yes. So in other words, in a sense, these regulations have reduced abortion significantly. We're talking about hundreds of thousands of lives annually being saved through regulations like parental involvement laws or informed consent laws and things like that.
And because the abortion issue is made an issue in the legislature, it becomes a political issue.
Yes.
If we had vacated the legislative arena and we're just talking on the streets and counseling and doing things culturally, however important all those things are, but if we had vacated the legislative arena for the last 35 years, it would not be a political issue. And in the 2008 elections, it is a huge political issue, and it's a political issue because it starts as a legislative issue. The themes and the issues that drive political elections begin in the legislature.
Oh, that's a great insight, you know, because so often people say, well, shouldn't we just focus on converting hearts and minds and, you know, shouldn't we focus on the culture because culture shapes law? And what do you say to that, Clark?
Well, it's not all or nothing. It's both and. As Cardinal George said a number of years ago, he said, quote, "When it comes to abortion and other sanctity of life issues, we should not suppose that our choice is between reforming the law and working to change the culture. We must do both. The work of legal reform is a necessary, though not sufficient, ingredient in the larger project of cultural transformation." It's not either or. It's both and. It's changing culture, changing lives, changing hearts and minds, and changing law. The two go together. They can't be separated.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And we need to head to a break. We're talking with Clark Forsyth, the president of Americans United for Life. And when we come back, I want to talk a little bit more about some of these laws, where Illinois is at with these laws. And friends, we welcome your questions and your comments. We're having a great discussion here, and we encourage you to become an active participant. Give us a call at 312-751-1977. 1-800-799. Maybe you're wondering, hey, what can we do in Illinois to reduce abortion through the law? Where are things at in Illinois right now? Maybe you have some other questions. We welcome your questions and your comments. 312-751-1979. We'll be right back with Clark Forsythe in just a moment.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need. I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298 or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, "Do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood."
Get into the swing of things this summer by golfing at a spectacular Chicago area golf course while supporting a great cause at the same time. On Wednesday, July 23rd, tee off at Cog Hill or Ruffled Feathers Golf Club. This event benefits Catholic Charities Family Services, and that covers a wide range of programs that help families during their most difficult times. Catholic Charities assists everyone in need, not just Catholics, people facing homelessness, unemployment, not being able to afford their next meal. You won't find a better cause, so sign up for this golf event or take advantage of a sponsorship opportunity. Call 312-948-6797 for more information or visit our website at catholiccharities.net/golf. It's an exciting, fun-filled day that begins with a challenging round of golf and ends with a steak dinner, raffle, and auction. Tee it up and swing away. Score one for Catholic Charities.
Welcome back to Life Talk. I'm Mary Louise Curry talking with Clark Forsythe, the president of Americans United for Life, about transforming our culture and the impact of putting fences around abortion in order to make abortion a thing of the past. And before we went to the break, Clark was talking about some of the parallels between William Wilberforce and his approach to ending slavery in the United Kingdom and comparing that with efforts to reduce and ultimately end abortion in the United States today. And Clark, one of the things that you were talking about is how changing the law and changing culture are both very important. Some people say, oh, I'm uncomfortable with politics, but I'm just going to focus on changing the culture, but that we really need both. And there was actually an interesting study done in Poland where there had been abortion on demand promoted by the Soviet regime for decades. And then abortion was made illegal. And what happened in Poland following that?
Well, the protective laws were put into effect sometime in the early 90s. And in the time since then, there have been, surprisingly to many people, positive women's health trends. One that stands out is a significant reduction in preterm birth, meaning birth to women before term. Premature birth is mm-hmm. a big risk to women and obviously the child.
Yes.
And the infants. And that was that positive health trend, the reduction in preterm births, followed the protective laws, the anti-abortion laws that were put into effect in Poland. And that's contrary to what a lot of Americans believe, that if you reinstituted protective abortion laws that restricted abortion, it would have a negative impact on women's health. Poland, and there is data from other countries, but the Polish data shows positive impact on women's health.
Yeah, and that's not surprising because when you think about it, and any woman who's had an abortion knows, abortion is an act of violence against a woman's body. I mean, to, you know, come in and forcibly remove an unborn child from a woman's body is got to be one of the most invasive and, you know, violent things that could be done to a woman. So it's definitely, but it's interesting because it is framed in the U.S. as being, oh, this is good for women's health and I'm concerned about women's health. You know, many legislators who are strongly in favor of abortion will say, but it's really not the case. And what happened in Poland also was that after abortion was made illegal, after decades of being legal, the number of abortions dropped precipitously. And I think that's another important point to make. People are worried, you know, if abortion's not legal, you know, women will go to the back alleys or whatever. But in fact, that's really not the case. What happens is that women find, hey, this isn't, I don't want to do something that's illegal. And they make a choice that's much better for them and definitely better for their unborn child as well.
That's right. And that ties in with public perception about what it means to overturn Roe versus Wade. What would that mean if Roe versus Wade was overturned today? Most people assume that that would mean that the Supreme Court makes abortion illegal or that some federal law would come back into existence immediately that would make abortion illegal or that the laws of 50 states that prohibit abortion would come back into effect. That's not true. In fact, for better or for worse, if Roe versus Wade was overturned today, abortion would be legal in at least 43 states tomorrow simply because the abortion prohibitions that were on the books have been repealed in those states.
I see.
That means there would be no immediate short-term change, but the issue would be sent back to the democratic process, sent back to the people at the state level, and the people and the legislators in the states would have to debate the issue and decide what kind of policy is going to be formulated in Springfield or in Indianapolis, Indiana, or in Madison, Wisconsin. And it would mean that the courts no longer control the issue, but the people do at the local state level, and that public opinion would – the public policy would better reflect public opinion and what the people want in their particular state.
Yes, absolutely. And I think that's where I see a lot of issues is that, you know, in lobbying in Springfield, there was a bill, for example, to gut parental notification in Illinois to nullify it. And right now, parental notification is held up in the courts in Illinois. But we expect that that will be implemented soon, within the next few years, certainly. But, you know, there was a bill to basically nullify parental notification. And legislators from, you know, areas like Libertyville, Mundelein, are supporting nullifying parental notifications, that a 12-year-old can go into an abortion clinic taken by a sexual predator, you know, some guy who's in his 20s who impregnated her, and get an abortion. And people, you know, in Mundelein are in favor of that. I mean, all over the state. And that was what frustrated me, was that we see the abortion lobby is so financially powerful, so well-funded, that these legislators feel like, I gotta bow to them. And that's very frustrating to see. So we definitely want Roe to be overturned and brought back to the states so that we can actually start moving in that direction of, you know, constituents really having more of a say.
That's a tragedy about parental notice in Illinois, because in other states where their parental notice laws are in effect, we've seen a reduction in adolescent pregnancy rates, abortion rates, and birth rates.
Wow.
And how is it, people ask, well, how is it that abortions were reduced but births didn't go up? And the answer is that both went down, and both went down because the parental notice law affected pregnancy rates, so that pregnancy rates dropped.
Right. So teens, in other words, said, well, if I get pregnant, I can't use abortion as a backup because I'd have to tell my parents I'm not going to be sexually active. And that is, I think, a huge, huge step forward. You know, we've seen more and more teens are abstinent, and that's a trend that we need to continue to encourage through abstinence education. We're talking with Clark Forsyth from Americans United for Life about reducing abortion and what really works. And we need to head to a break right now, but we encourage your phone calls, your comments. You know, we encourage you to participate in this conversation. Give us a call, 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. 751-1979. You know, maybe you're thinking, okay, so what are the numbers? How do these fences around abortion really work? Maybe you're in favor of abortion on demand. You think, hey, we should have unrestricted abortion. We'd love to hear from you, too. We want to hear from people on both sides of this. We'd love to get your thoughts and comments. 312-751-1979. We'll be right back here on Life Talk. We're here with Clark Forsythe from Americans United for Life on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
We asked people all over America, what have you done for your marriage today?
It's a good question.
Boy, I gave a huge hug this morning, like a really big squeeze.
I took the baby while she worked.
I got up with the baby while he slept.
Yeah. We've actually organized a date night tonight.
I cooked my husband's favorite breakfast.
Well, I've done today what I usually do, and that is obey.
What have you done for your marriage today? Don't forget the small stuff. Need ideas? Go to foryourmarriage.org. A message from the Catholic Communication Campaign.
Do you know what's going on in your church, around the corner, or around the world? Do you want to hear stories about your faith? Do you want to help shape Catholic thought? If you said yes, subscribe to the Catholic New World, the newspaper for the people of the Archdiocese of Chicago. Call 312-655-7777 or visit us at catholicnewworld.com. The Catholic New World, a world beyond your church, a church beyond your world.
The cemetery ministry is a core ministry of our Catholic faith tied to the corporal works of mercy. Cardinal George says, "It's comforting to know that our Catholic cemeteries are caring for the remains of our loved ones awaiting the resurrection." There are 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries willing to help you during times of loss. Call 708-449-6100 for assistance. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 AM, the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Life Talk here on the Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry, the Director of the Respect Life Office of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and we are chatting today with Clark Forsythe, the President of Americans United for Life, who's been featured nationally and internationally for his work, including on the front page of the Wall Street Journal with a nice little dot picture of Clark, comparing AUL's strategy of reducing and ultimately eliminating abortion with the successful playbook strategy of the NAACP when they went about reducing and ultimately eliminating the tragic separate but equal so-called policy that was in the United States. And Clark and I have been having a really stimulating conversation. We welcome your questions and comments at 312-751-1979. That's 312-751-1979. So, Clark, before we went to the break, we were talking about the Illinois parental notice law and, you know, what a tragedy that is that has been held up in the courts. And what really struck me was just looking at the 2006 Illinois abortion statistics, which are the most recent ones for our state. So in 2006, there were 46,467 abortions in Illinois. That's got to be one of the highest numbers in the nation among the states. What do you think?
It's tragic. Yes, it is.
Unbelievable. And in the Archdiocese of Chicago, which is Cook and Lake Counties, there were almost 24,000 there were more than 24,000 abortions. 22,691 in Cook County and 1,480 in Lake County. And you know what strikes me as I look at, wow, 46,000 plus abortions annually. I was at an event for a pregnancy center recently where they said that they've had 80 babies saved over the past 3 years, which is great. Tremendous. Praise God. There are 80 children alive today because of their wonderful efforts. But the amount of money poured into those efforts, the amount of volunteer time, all of this, you know, and it's really very small percentage, way less than 1% of all of the abortions in Illinois. Compare that with parental notification. If we had in Texas, there was actually a study that came out in the New England Journal of Medicine, really interesting, that in Texas, this just came out in March, among 15-year-olds, because of their parental notice law, abortions declined by 11%, 16-year-olds, 20%, 17-year-olds, 16%. I mean, if we had that here in Illinois, that would be literally a reduction of thousands of abortions per year. So these laws really do save lives.
They do. And California is one state without parental notice or consent. Mm-hmm. There are 300,000 abortions a year in California.
Wow.
If they parental notice is on the ballot this November in California, if they pass that, it might reduce abortions by 20% in California.
Wow.
In Mississippi.
Incredible. That's like 60,000 people
that's right.
who would be alive if that law passes.
In Mississippi, over a span of 15 years, they passed about 13 laws. They reduced their abortion rate by 60 or 70%. They reduced the number of abortion clinics from 7 to 1. So these laws do have a very significant practical impact. But as we started out with, it's both culture and law.
Yes.
I see the significance of the pregnancy center movement across the country as not just saving lives, but being a beacon, a light that's there for any woman in a crisis to go to. It's a symbol of citizens reaching out to women that they can be there and be available, that they don't have
yes.
to have the abortion. And that's that important symbol and that important presence is important culturally.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Now, we just had a caller, actually. And by the way, we encourage your phone calls at 312-751-1979, 312-751-1979. And she doesn't want to go on the air, but she wanted us to talk briefly about the link between abortion and breast cancer. What are your thoughts on that, Clark? It's
well,
interesting because the Susan G. Komen Foundation gives, you know, millions of dollars to Planned Parenthood, which commits over 280,000 and abortions every year. But there's been a lot of studies that have shown there is a link.
There is a association, and the most powerful and undisputed association is that age at first pregnancy is a risk for breast cancer. And so the most undisputed fact is that terminating a first pregnancy, especially for a young woman in her first pregnancy, deprives her of the protective effect of a first full-term pregnancy against breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
It delays her first full-term pregnancy, and that is a significant risk factor. There was a leading medical journal study in the Obstetrical and Gynecological Survey back in January 2003, and they concluded that based on the data, women definitely should be informed as a matter of medical ethics about the data and about the link and association between abortion and breast cancer.
That's interesting.
That's just one of the five best medically documented risks.
Wow.
Women also have a risk of heightened risk of preterm birth, heightened risk of placenta previa after abortion, heightened risk of drug and alcohol abuse, heightened risk of suicide and psychiatric admission,
wow.
and loss of the protective effect against breast cancer. Those are the five best medically documented risks.
Wow. Wow, man, we could spend a whole show just on that, actually. And, you know, I'm sure that there are out there right now women who are listening to this who've had abortions, and maybe you're hurting from that. And I encourage you to call Project Rachel, which is the post-abortion healing program offered by the Catholic Church. That number is 888-456-HOPE. That's 888-456-HOPE. H-O-P-E. And there are also some online resources if you go to NOPAR.org. That's N-O-P-A-R-H.org. That's the National Organization for post-abortion reconciliation and healing. So, and there's also hopeafterabortion.com. Those are some great resources. So, you know, we actually need to head to another break. But, Clark, one of the things I really want to talk about is Roe v. Wade on its last legs? We know that overturning Roe is essential to ending abortion in the United States. Is Roe on its last legs? I want to hear all about it because, frankly, the abortion advocacy movement is really starting to introduce some crazy bills for consideration. What are they doing? Is Roe on its last legs? Stay with us. We're gonna get the answer here. And we encourage your questions and phone calls and comments. 312-751-1979. We'll be right back here on Relevant Radio, 950 AM.
Are you an active volunteer in your parish? Do you want to grow spiritually and deepen your faith and prayer life? Do you want to know more about the Bible, church doctrine and history, and about sacraments and liturgy? The Archdiocese of Chicago offers the Called and Gifted program for generous people like you. Through weekly classes and monthly formation days, Called and Gifted helps parish volunteers become more effective parish ministers. You'll study at a site near you, forming friendships and deepening your faith. And each month, you'll attend a formation day of prayer and learning at a retreat center of stunning beauty. Over 1,500 volunteer ministers have found greater confidence for ministry through the Called and Gifted program. For more information about this wonderful opportunity for growth, call Sister Peg at 847-837-4555 or email layministry@usml.edu. Don't put it off. Call today.
Why do we have four Gospels instead of one?
How do Catholics understand the stories of creation in the book of Genesis?
What is the book of Revelation really about?
What do the prophets of Israel have to say to us today?
To think about the answers to these questions and many more, join committed Catholics in the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, the official Bible study program of the Archdiocese of Chicago. You'll learn the big picture of the Bible and grow your faith by reading and praying every book. Three classes for new students open in September in Chicago and in Tinley Park. To find out more about the Chicago Catholic Scripture School, call the Office for Catechesis and Youth Ministry at 312-243-3700. That's 312-243-3700 for the Chicago Catholic Scripture School. Come and share the word.
We are back here on Life Talk on Relevant Radio 950 AM. I'm Mary Louise Curry from the Archdiocesan Respect Life Office talking with Clark Forsythe, the president of Americans United for Life, where Clark has served for, what, 23 years or something? Is that right, Clark? You started right out of law school and you're still young, but already racked up 23 years of great service to the pro-life movement. Praise God. Praise God.
23 years and counting.
That is great. That's terrific. And, you know, I really want to go back to briefly, you know, William Wilberforce. It took 45 years for him to achieve the goal that he went into politics for of ending the slave trade in the United Kingdom and, well, ending slavery in the United Kingdom, and that we must persevere. And so often I get frustrated. People say, oh, you know, the legislation doesn't really make a difference. You know, we haven't gone anywhere since Roe v. Wade was passed. And in fact, I mean, listen to just some of the advances that have been made. The Hyde Amendment, federally, no public funding for abortion. That is huge because a study indicated, very interesting, that in states where Medicaid funds abortions, the abortion rate, and like Illinois has that, where Medicaid covers abortions, the abortion rate is four times higher among women on Medicaid. So, you know, no public funding of abortions reduces abortions by the thousands, if not tens or hundreds of thousands. The Mexico City policy that the U.S. will not fund abortion overseas. That was, I believe, the first thing that President Bush signed when he came into office. Is that right, Clark?
That's right.
And that also is reduced abortions by at least the thousands, if not more. No funding for killing new human embryos through embryonic stem cell research. And now we see how wise that is because of the reprogramming of skin cells to take on the qualities of embryonic stem cells.
It has been a critical fence for the federal government not to fund new destruction of human embryos. It has encouraged investment in other areas of stem cell research that don't involve the killing of embryos. And it's been an important symbol, a moral symbol in this country against the killing of embryonic human beings.
Yeah, that's great. And Pfizer, didn't they recently drop all their embryonic stem cell research work? I think that just happened. I think I was I heard Father Ted Pohlchick, you know, the Harvard educated and Yale educated neuroscientist on EWTN on the world over talking about that, how Pfizer is just happened like last week. Pfizer said they're dropping all of it because it's been so unsuccessful. So that's been huge. And the Supreme Court makeup. I mean, let's not forget about that. We've got four justices now that appear that they would be open to overturning Roe v. Wade. I mean, would you say that that's true, Clark?
Well, I think that that Roe may be on its last legs, depending on what happens in November in the presidential and Senate elections. But it's clear that 35 years after Roe versus Wade, we have the most abortion skeptical court we've ever had.
Wow.
We have five justices now who are skeptical about the claims of abortion, who recognize that abortion has a negative impact, who recognize the negative psychological impact. And 14 months ago, the Supreme Court in the partial birth decision that upheld the federal partial birth abortion law,
yes,
also opened the door to much broader regulations of abortion. And just since then, 18 states have passed laws requiring that women be given the option of ultrasound before.
Wow.
So 18
That's
states
great.
Now have ultrasound laws.
That is such a great – we've got to get that in Illinois. I mean, that's huge. And there's also usually a waiting period tied in with that also of like 24 or 48 hours.
Exactly.
I think that's so interesting, that waiting period approach, because so many legislators who, let's face it, they say that they don't like abortion, but they are adamantly in favor of abortion. I mean, they try to block the, you know, Roberts and Alito getting on the court because they're concerned about enshrining abortion on demand at any stage of pregnancy for any reason. But these legislators are also usually very much in favor of waiting periods for purchasing a gun. But when it comes to waiting period for purchasing an abortion, you know, which has the same, which we know actually, I mean, a gun may be used, but when somebody's purchasing an abortion, we know that the abortion will be used, that somebody will die in that procedure. They are opposed to that. I mean, talk about inconsistent. Cardinal Bernardine would not be in favor of that type of inconsistency.
24 hours has to be the minimum for any woman to consider abortion and perhaps get a second opinion and consider alternatives at a minimum. I mean, why would you think of pushing someone into a serious medical procedure without thought and reflection, without considering alternatives, without getting a second opinion?
Absolutely.
Especially Absolutely. When abortion entails all of those long-term medical risks.
Yes.
I mean, anything less than abortion, anything less than 24 hours reflection mm-hmm. time is crazy.
Well, and what I've found, you know, on the Project Rachel hotline, I'm kind of the backup person to answer the phone when our main, you know, kind of lay facilitator is not available. You know, women call and they'll say, you know, I found out I was pregnant and 3 days later I got an abortion and I didn't really think about it. I just kind of rushed into it. I was in a panicked state of mind. And those waiting periods are so crucial. We actually have a phone call. Kathleen from Mount Prospect. Kathleen, thanks so much for calling Life Talk today.
Oh, this is Kathleen.
Yes, Kathleen.
Hi. Yes. All right. Now, I want you to tell your listeners, don't forget the onemoresoul.com. They will also, there's also the Pope Paul Institute, .org or com.
Yes.
And then also to let you know what the stats of the risks are for breast cancer is the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute, which is bcpinstitute.org.
bcpinstitute.org. Is that a
And
that
they have, I think they have flyers or folders, like why aren't women being told and they'll give you this, all the information on the reproductive breast cancer risks and breast lobule maturation.
Oh, great. And that's Dr. Joel Brind, actually, at the Breast Cancer Prevention Institute.
And they'll send you for free all these flyers or folders on the stats. And, again, it's bcpinstitute.org.
Great. bcpinstitute.org. Thanks so much, Kathleen.
You're
we really appreciate it.
Yeah. And one more soul.
Right.
.com or org, whatever. Yeah. And then the Pope Paul Institute.
Great, great. That's terrific. Thanks so much, Kathleen. We really appreciate
it. Welcome.
Take care.
God bless.
God bless you. And that Pope Paul VI Institute is great on infertility issues, too, because, you know, that's a huge issue nowadays. A lot of people facing that sadness of infertility, and they think they've got to go to IVF. But in fact, there are other much more effective alternatives that are also ethical, aligned with the Catholic faith, unlike in vitro fertilization. And the Pope Paul VI Institute is great. I encourage people to check out fertilitycare.org for information on that. If you or someone you love is facing the sadness of infertility and looking at what the options are to effectively, you know, to get pregnant and in a way that's aligned with the faith. And it's amazing because their approach focuses on healing the woman and it's more effective, three times more effective than in vitro. We actually need to head to a break. We're heading into our final stretch and we've got some more calls on the line and, you know, to want to talk a little bit more about Roe. Is it on its last legs? Clark said it is, depending on the outcome of this upcoming election. So we've got to pray. We've got to pray big for that. And this Freedom of Choice Act, what is that? We need to talk about that too. We're going to talk about that when we come back here on Life Talk.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son isn't a number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
Catholic Charities is providing the community health fair with free medical services to Chicago area residents on Saturday, August 23rd, at St. Francis of Rome School, 1401 South Austin Boulevard in Cicero. The health fairs are free to the public and offer various medical screenings, dental exams, immunizations, and general physicals for adults and children. Social service providers will also be on hand to offer a one-stop shop approach for families in need of assistance. Volunteers are needed to help these health fairs run smoothly. Please call Arlene Irvin at 312-655-7298 for more information. That's 312-655-7298. Here's wishing you good health from Catholic Charities.
Welcome back to Life Talk. We are in the final stretch of this really stimulating program talking about putting fences around abortion to eventually eliminate it in the United States, similar to William Wilberforce's approach in eliminating slavery in the United Kingdom. And here with Clark Forsythe, the president of Americans United for Life, we've been talking about how so many of these incremental approaches that have been put into effect over the past 8 years have really saved hundreds of thousands of lives from abortion, Clark, and that's very encouraging. But there's also, it seems like the abortion lobby is panicking a little bit because they're starting to bring up things like the Freedom of Choice Act. And I think one of the candidates for president actually said he would sign this into law if he became president. What is the Freedom of Choice Act, first of all?
Well, despite the innocuous name, it basically would restore abortion on demand throughout this country, ensure it, and wipe out all of the progress that has been made in planting legal fences around abortion. It would wipe out informed consent laws in all 50 states.
Wow.
Wipe out parental notice and consent laws. Wipe out restriction on public funding.
What about like partial birth abortion?
Wipe out any restrictions, federal or state, on partial birth abortion.
Wow.
Sweep away limitations on public funding. And unfortunately, Senator Obama last year told the Planned Parenthood Political Action Convention that if he was elected president, that would be the first thing that he'd want to sign as president.
Wow.
And that would just wipe out all of the progress that we've made over the last 35 years in public policy, whether in Congress or in the states.
And terrible.
It is terrible. It's completely misguided. I mean, to sweep away any protection for women in providing them full information before an abortion, sweep away any clinic regulations, it's ludicrous.
It is. And, I mean, that results in, let's face it, hundreds of thousands more deaths. I mean, I hate to focus on that issue, but, you know, being somebody where I could have been aborted, you know, I was the youngest child, I wasn't planned, you know, I was born after Roe v. Wade. I could have been aborted, you know. And when we look at that as young people and we see a quarter of our generation is missing, you know, these fences that are around abortion right now, you know, which are progressing toward making abortion illegal in the United States. I mean, these are so necessary for saving lives. I can't believe that somebody, you know, who is running for a major office like that would consider such an extreme position.
When you consider that abortions dropped 25% from 1.6 million to 1.2 million between 92 and 2006, if this Freedom of Choice Act was enacted by Congress and signed by the president, abortions might climb to 2 or 3 million a year.
Wow. Oh, man. Well, we've got to prevent that then. We have to prevent that from happening because that would be a great tragedy. And, of course, the Supreme Court makeup is huge, too. I mean, isn't one of the justices like 87 years old right now who is in favor of abortion on demand?
Whoever is elected in November will most likely nominate successors to Justice Stevens, who's 88, and Justice Ginsburg. Likely. Mm. The Supreme Court has been moving to a position of being abortion skeptical. We have 5-4 now, 5 justices who are skeptical about abortion. I think these 5 and the majority now would allow virtually any regulation of abortion that makes medical sense. But in a larger sense, the issue about the Supreme Court and the justices is about self-government and preserving self-government. Are we going to be ruled from Washington by unelected judges, or are we going to make are the people going to make decisions on these issues at the state and local level?
Yes, absolutely. And, you know, I think that we see such broad-based support for these fences on abortion, like parental notice, which, depending on how the question is asked, receives anywhere between 72% and 81% of the population is in favor of parental notification for a minor to obtain an abortion, for example. So we see there's so much public support, and we've just got to make sure that we can continue to not only evangelize our nation culturally about abortion, but also, you know, in terms of the law.
Absolutely.
Well, Clark, it's been a blessing to have you on the show today. This show just flew by.
Thanks, Mary Louise. It's been great to be back with you and with Relevant Radio.
Oh, it's a blessing to have you. We have about 20 seconds left. Any final thoughts?
Well, I would encourage everyone to read the William Hague biography of Wilberforce. He is an important and successful and inspiring historical example. And the major thing I take away from Wilberforce and his life and success and experience is that we have to be tenacious, we have to be vigilant, we have to be committed, and we have to persevere in effective action in changing culture and changing law and policy in politics.
Amen. Amen. And let's pray for that. And friends, please today say a prayer for this issue, for the election, for the pro-life movement, for ending abortion. And let's all be tenacious and persevere so that we can build a culture of life. We can spread the gospel of life where every human being is welcomed in life and protected by law in our nation. This is Mary Louise Curry with Clark's Forsyth from Americans United for Life. Thanks so much for joining us here on Life Talk today. We hope you have a very blessed Independence Day.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day and God bless you.